Shabbos Daf Ayin Aleph. We are starting on Ayin Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom, with the words Amar Rava. Just as a brief introduction before we begin this Daf, and we go back to the Mishnah. We are in the seventh parak of the Masechta. We are learning about the institution of Shabbos vis-a-vis Malachos. And this parak is dedicated to the introduction of the concept of Malachos. A couple days from now in Ayin Gimel, we are going to be going through all 39 Malachos. The Mishnah will enumerate each of the 39, but before doing so, the Mishnayos and the Gemara are going to be giving us some very basic principles regarding the Karban Chatas that's going to be brought for each Malacha. Yesterday, we learned about the concept of Chiluk Malachos. That means to say that each of the 39 Malachos represent a separate Isser within Shabbos, and therefore there would be a liability to bring a Karban Chatas for each malacha in of itself. Even before that, as we started the perek, we also were introduced to the idea of being a shogeg, when a person violates Shabbos inadvertently, where he forgets. So under those circumstances, he's going to bring a karban chatos. The Mishnah introduced us to three categories within the principle of shogeg. The first one I'll go over quickly, but we're going to be focusing really on numbers 2 and 3. The first idea of the Mishnah back when in the beginning of this perek is Hashochech Ikar Shabbos, the person who forgets the entire institution of Shabbos. That means to say that at one point in time he was introduced to Shabbos, but then he forgot about it in its entirety. He simply does not remember anything regarding the institution of Shabbos. Under those circumstances, if a person like that were to violate multiple Shabbosos, multiple Malachos, when all is said and done, and when he is informed and re-educated regarding the principles of Shabbos, so he only needs to bring one Karban Chatos for all the violations that he violated while in that state of unawareness. That is category number one. But now let's focus on categories numbers 2 and 3. Categories 2 and 3 go as follows. Category number 2 is where the person is fully aware of the idea, the institution of Shabbos. He knows that there is a concept of Shabbos. It just happens to be that when Shabbos rolls around, he forgot that that day was Shabbos. So that is a Shigiga Shabbos. That is the idea that his mistake, his inadvertentness, has to do with the fact that he forgot that that day was Shabbos. As a result of that, so if he strings along 1, 2, 3, 4 Shabbosim in which he missed Shabbos in this manner, so therefore he's going to have to bring a Karban Chatos for each Shabbos that he violated, irrespective of how many Malachos that he violated within that given Shabbos. That's category number 2. Now, why should that be that he's Chayav a Malacha for each and every Shabbos? So as we already went over a couple of times, but it bears repeating as it is fundamental. So Rashi says, because it's impossible that he's going to go through a stretch of the entire week not having heard that last Shabbos that he missed was in fact Shabbos. So there is going to be Yediyah, says Rashi. It's inevitable. Tosos gives a different explanation. He says that this is not so much a svara as it's more gzeras hakasav. It is just simply built into the structure of the Torah in which a person is going to be chai of multiple chatos based on the number of Shabbosos that he violated if the shogeg is rooted in the fact that he forgot that it was Shabbos. And then there's category number 3. Category number 3 is that within a given Shabbos, if he's totally aware of the fact that it's Shabbos, it just happens to be that he forgot about the actual malacha itself, so then he's going to bring a Karban Chatos for each malacha that he violated. So for each av malacha that he violated within a given Shabbos, so he's going to have to bring multiple chatos based on the number of malachas that he violated in each Shabbos. Category number 2, we're going to be referring from this point going forward as Shigiga Shabbos. And category number 3, from this point going forward, we're going to be referring to as Shigigas Malachos. And so, with all that stated, that is a basic background to everything we need to know. And we begin now the daf. Amar Rava. Chasav v'tachem begrogris. Let's say the person does the following. He does the malacha of kitzira, that's harvesting, the malacha of tchina, that's grinding, and he did a grogris. Grogris is just simply an amount. It's equivalent to that of a dried fig. And as we're going to be learning over the course of this Masechta, for each malacha, not only do you have to do an activity, but you also have to do a requisite amount. So for here, the malachas of Katsira and Tchina, when it comes to a food, the requisite amount is a grogris. So the grogris is just simply a shear, so that the person now has done the requisite amount so that he violated a malacha. Now here we have this person violating two separate malachas, the malacha of Katsira and the malacha of Tchina. These are two distinct malachas that one could violate on Shabbos, and he did so. Now, b'shiga Shabbos v'zad malachas. Now, the first round in which he did it, we're going to call this round number 1. So he did so under the shigaga of shigaga Shabbos. That means to say that he forgot that the day was Shabbos. Which means then that if this were the only act that he did, so then when all is said and done, and when he realizes the mistake that he made, he's going to have to bring one carbon chatas. But then the story's not over. Then once again, he repeated his action of both doing the malachas of Katsira and Tchina, the requisite amount, Bizadon Shabbos v'Shigas Malachos, and here he did it with Shigas Malachos, which means that he is fully aware of the fact that today is Shabbos. He just forgot about the Malachos. So that means to say that when reminded about the Malachos, he will be chayav to bring a carbon for both the act of Katsira and the act of Tchina. We have now set up in front of us the following case. The person has done the malachas of Ktsira and Tchina in two rounds. In round number one, he did it with Shigagas Shabbos. In round two, he did it with Shigagas Malachos. And now we continue. V'nodala Ktsira Tchina al Shigagas Shabbos v'zada Malachos. And then the discovery of the harvesting and the grinding of Shigagas Shabbos of round number one. V'chazav v'noda al Ktsira v'al Tchina v'al zada Shabbos v'shigas Malachos. And then he discovered about the second round of him violating the malachos under Shigagas Malachos. What then becomes in terms of his carbon liability? The Gemara spells it out as we turn now to the top of the Amud Aleph. Ktsira gerer ktsira, tchina gerer tchina. So we have the concept where the ktsira is going to be drawn after that of ktsira, and the tchina is going to be drawn after the tchina. And that means to say, in this context, it goes as follows. We know that for round number one, he's only going to be chayav one carbon because that was under the auspices, that was under the category of Shigagas Shabbos. We know that round number two, you'd be chayav two carbon chatases. But because you did them both, and because they were done, behelam echad. Now, as the Gemara later on is going to, almost so to say, realize, this is not exactly the same. Meaning, it's not exactly the same issa repeated twice. Because here what we have is that the first time it was done, it was done by Shigagas Shabbos. The second time that it was done by the Shigagas Malachos. You don't necessarily have to say that this is the exact same Isser being repeated. But for our purposes, and right now at this stage of the Gemara, we are going to say that the way we're going to view it is basically that it is Isser repeated. We know that in general, when you violate a Isser that requires a carbon chatas, and you repeat that Isser, and you do so behelam echad, so then you're going to be chayv only one carbon. So here what the Gemara now is advancing and arguing is the following. Since in round number one, it's done under the umbrella of Shigagas Shabbos, in round number two, it's done under the umbrella of Shigagas Malachos, but because it's the same act that is effectively repeated, so what we could say now is that Ktsira of round number two will be annexed to Ktsira of round number one. That's Ktsira Gorer's Ktsira. And we're also going to say that the Tchina of round number two is going to be annexed to the Tchina of round number one. And so that means to say now with all this annexation and everything now going back to the original Ktsira, the original Tchina, so one need only bring one carbon in order to satisfy its requirement of bringing a carbon Chagas. Aval. Excuse me. Aval nodelo al Ktsira Shelzad and Shabbos V'Shigas Malachos. But if, let's say, he first discovers of the Ketzira of the Shigagas Malachos, of round number two. And then Ketzira Goros Ketzira, Utchina Shi'ima, Utchina Shekenegda Bimkom Omedes. So here is what Rava is now going to argue in advance. Because what he first discovered was round number two. So when round number two, he's chayav two carbon chatases. One for the Ketzira and one for the Tchina. And so now a question of annexation. What is able to get annexed together with round number two? So what Rav is going to argue is as follows, that as far as going from Ketzira number one, two, back to Ketzira number one, so the Gemara says that's no problem. That Rav is going to say. And so therefore, the carbon that he brings for Ketzira number two is in fact going to not only satisfy the malacha of Ketzira that was done under round number two, Shigagas Malachos, but it's also going to be able to satisfy the Ketzira that was down in round number one, under the auspices of Shigagas Shabbos. However, Rava says, here's where we're going to stop. Oh, I'm sorry. And but Tchina Shekenegda Bimkoma Omeres. But as far as the Tchina that was down in round number two, so that is not going to be covered by the Karban Chatas. Now, if you're following this well, and this would be a lot better if we were able to chart this out, but I'm going to create a path in which one could take And I'm telling you where Rava is going to stop short of the path. We're going to start over here at Katsir in round number two. Katsir in round number two, you're bringing a carbon chatas for that. Now, because in round number two, it was Shigdas Malachos, Katsira and Tchina are not covered by the same carbon chatas. But here's a path that one could take. We could go from Katsira number two back to Katsira number one. In fact, not only could we are going to. Because it is just simply the act of Katsira being repeated on that very Shabbos. So we're going Katsira number two back to Katsira number one. While in Katsira number one, we know that was Shigaga Shabbos, and we know incorporated within Katsira number one was also Tchina number one. And so what we could say that if the carbon is covering Katsira number one, it should also be able to cover Tchina number one as well. Now that we've gone that far, so now we could go with the following, we could take this down the following path. We can go to Tchina number one all the way back around to Tchina number two. Because if Tchina number one is being covered by the carbon chatas, and Tchina number two is just simply a repetition of the act of Tchina, so we can say that this carbon now is going to provide coverage not only for Tchina number one, but for Tchina number two as well. We could make the argument that say that this one carbon chatas now is going to circle all the way around from Katsira number two back to Katsira number one, Katsira number one to Tchina number one, and from Tchina number one to Tchina number two. That's all what we could say. And Rava says, here is where I'm ready to draw the line. We are not going to go from Tchina number one to Tchina number two. He says, to that regard, in that extent, we are not going to do. And the reason why we're not going to do that is because he does not subscribe to the principle of Gerera. Meaning he will not say that the annexation, the idea that we're able to incorporate more into this one carbon, it will have a limit and we're going to draw the line in terms of where the limit is. Now, over the course of the daf, what we're going to understand together is where exactly Rava is ready to draw the line in terms of the limits of annexation, and that is going to be explained to us over the course of this daf. Abaye Amar, back to the Gemara. Abaye is of the opinion, Tchina namigara Tchina, Hashem Tchina achasi. Now, Abaye says that Tchina can cover Tchina, meaning the path that we just took, going all the way around full circle, from Katsira number two to Katsira number one, from Katsira number one to Tchina number one, from Tchina number one back to Katsira number two. So Abaye takes the full path, and therefore Abaye allows the carbon chatas to cover all of the above. And so therefore, according to Abaye, under these circumstances, one carbon will cover everything. Now the Gemara goes back to Rava, Mislela Rava, Gereira. Now does Rava subscribe to the principle of Gereira? Now Rava, to a certain degree, does subscribe to the principle of Gereira, as we've just seen together, where Rava does take some of the path, not the full path, and certainly Rava applies the idea of incorporation. It's just a question of he's got a limit, and we'll discuss exactly what the limits are. But he certainly seems to subscribe it to a certain degree. The Gemara says, Vahaytmar, but the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what we do know, however, and that is the following. Achos nezeze chelev, belamechad, a person eats two kizaisim of chelev. Chelev, the forbidden fat, which one is going to be subject to the kares penalty, if done b'mezid. He ate two zaisim of this chelev in one state of halama, v'nodolo al achas mehem, and then a discovery that was made that he ate one of the two, v'chazav achal kizais b'lama shasheni. Now he eats a third piece within the halama of the second. And here, we can draw a simple Venn diagram in order to describe this scenario over here. What we have is, within the first circle of our Venn diagram, we have chelev pieces numbers 1 and 2. Now, within this within the first circle, so now we're going to be drawing a circle next to it, and then within circle number 2, we're going to be having him eaten the third piece. This third piece of chelev now is in our second circle of our Venn diagram. Now, the overlap of these Venn diagrams, so you're going to have the following. Number 2, chelev piece number 2, was eaten within the halam of number 1, and within the halama of number 3. 1 and 3 were not eaten within the same halama, but 1 and 2 were eaten within one halama, and 2 and 3 were eaten in another halama. So if everyone could see, I know it's better to see this, but if everyone could see the Venn diagram that I'm illustrating right now, and now the question becomes as follows. How many karbanos does he need to bring? Amar Rava. So Rava on this scenario says as follows. Hey, v'karban al rishon. So if you were to bring a karban chatos for the first one, so rishon v'sheni mit kaprin. So now this will give you coverage for the consumption of Rishon and Sheni, because Rishon and Sheni were eaten by Halam Echad. Shlishi einu miskaper, but 3 is not going to be covered because 3 was not eaten within the same Halama as 1. Now it's true that 3 was eaten within the same Halama as 2, but because the carbon was brought principally for number 1, so the only thing that you can incorporate is number 2, but you can't incorporate number 3.
Hey, the carbon of shlishi. Now, if the carbon is brought for chaylev piece number three, shlishi v'sheni miskapin. So that will provide you kapara for number three and number two, but rishon and miskapin. But it's not going to be covering number one. Hey, the carbon al imsai. Now, if you brought this carbon for number two, niskapin kulan, it provides you kapara for all of them. Abaye amar, I feel a heavy carbon al echad mehem niskapin kulan. Now, Abaye, who is very comfortable with this idea of gerera, of incorporation. So Abaye says, look, I don't mind that it's going to take a couple steps to get from one to two to three. It doesn't bother me. And if I'm bringing the carbon to chatos for number one, it'll provide coverage for number two and for number three as well. So what the Gemara now points out is that we see over here that within the brisa that we just learned together, Rava does not subscribe to incorporation at all. Meaning Rava is not open to the idea that just because a carbon is going to be providing coverage for one and therefore two, now that's not incorporation. One and two were done by Halamecha. But what Rava is in this case not going to say is that it doesn't extend to number three. So you see over here that Rava does not subscribe to Gerera, any kind of incorporation whatsoever. Now it seems to be a little bit strange because in the case regarding Shabbos, Rava was open to a little bit of Gerera, a little bit of incorporation. Again, the limits we're going to explain later on, but he's open to it a little bit. Over here in this argument between Abaye, it seems to be that he doesn't subscribe to it all. And the Gemara says, Basu Shame Abaye Abaye Svara. The Gemara's explanation is that Rava at first was not open to any kind of incorporation whatsoever. After hearing the argument from Abaye, so then eventually Rava capitulated to the position of incorporation, albeit he has limits which we're going to go over in just a moment. Ihachi. And I say just a moment, I mean right now. Tchina nami tigra l'tchina. So the Gemara says, so if Rava is open to the idea of Gerera, of this idea of incorporation, so why not go and take the full path that we described earlier? And again, just one more time. We're going to go from Ketzira number two back to back to Ketzira number one. We're going to go from Ketzira number one to Tchina number one, and we should then go full. We should go down from Tchina number one down to Tchina number two. In fact, Abaye says that the karma that you bring is able to incorporate all that. And why would Rava not say that? And the Gemara's response is Gerera Eisle, Gerera de Gerera Leisle. So the Gemara says that as far as Gerera, as pulling in, as incorporation is concerned, so to go one step of incorporation, that's fine. But to go two steps is not fine. So the Gemara says that for Rava, the limits are going to be one step of incorporation is acceptable, but two steps are not acceptable. Now, where exactly do we stand between one step and two steps? So let's take our tour once again of the case of the Ketzira and the Tchina. When I'm going to go from Ketzira number two, again, the case scenario is the first round, you did Ketzira Tchina with Shigur HaShabbos, which would require only one carbon chatos. You did a second round of Ketzira Tchina and Shigur HaMalachos, which would require two carbonos. And now what you did is you discovered about the Ketzira of round number two and the Tchina of round number two. And now the question becomes, what kind of Gerera of incorporation are we going to say? Rava says, here's what we'll allow to say. To go from Ketzira number two to Ketzira number one, that's not even a question of incorporation. That's just simply the same malacha that's repeated. The same malacha repeated doesn't need the principle of Gerera, doesn't need the principle of incorporation. That just simply is the same act repeated twice. So from Ketzira number two back to Ketzira number one, that's not even a move. That's just simply the same malacha. Now, to go from Ketzira number one to Tchina number one, that's incorporation, that's Gerera. Because the only way we're going to do that is because we are basically annexing Tchina number one together with Ketzira number one. Remember, the carbon that you brought was not principally for Ketzira number one. The carbon that you brought was principally for Ketzira number two. It's just that we moved up to Ketzira number one, and now we're moving across to Tchina number one. That is going to be Gerera. That's going to be now incorporation. Rava says that's it. You're only allowed one move in terms of Gerera, in terms of this idea of incorporation, and therefore you cannot go down to Tchina number two because that would require a second move, and Rava does not allow for a second move. Why? Why does he provide this limit? So it's a wonderful question. I happen not to have a good way to explain it, but that is certainly the idea as expressed by Rava. Now, Milsa de Pshita Lulabai V'Rava, as we continue now in the Gemara, in the middle of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, something which was obvious to Abai and Rava Mibaila, the Rebbe Zera, is not as clear to Rebbe Zera. By Rebbe Zera, may Rabbi Yassi, because the following question was asked from Rabbi Yassi, V'Amilabai, Minei Rebbe Yirmiyah, may Rebbe Zera, or the following question was asked from Rabbi Zera. So it varies your source in terms of who exactly asked the question, but the question goes as follows. Katsu v'tachin chatzi grogris. So let's say a person were to do the katsira, the harvesting, or he were to do the grinding of chatzi grogeres, which is not the requisite amount, it's half of the requisite amount. Shigiga Shabbos v'zada malachos, and he did so under the shogeg of Shigiga Shabbos, meaning I forgot it was Shabbos. V'chazav v'katsav v'tachan chatzi grogeres, v'zada Shabbos v'shigigas malachos, and then he did the next half shear, but he did so under the shigiga of Shigigas malachos. Mahu sheit starfu, the question now becomes the following, can they combine? And like I said in the beginning of Shir today, the Gemara operated with an assumption that Shigigas Malachos and Shigigas Shabbos are really not that different from one another. But now, as we see together very clearly, Rabbi Zera is asking from Rabbi Asi, are they in fact comparable? Can they combine? If I do a half a Malacha of Shigigas Shabbos and I do the same act, but with the Shigigas Malachos, are they something which can combine in order to create the requisite shear so that one would be Chayv Karban Chatos? Amar Lei, and the response is as follows, Chaluk and Lechataos, V'lo Mitzdarfin. Well, since they're going to be separated in terms of a Chatos offering, meaning that if I did an act which was under Shigigas Shabbos, and I did the same act under Shigigas Malachos, so since they are not going to be unified, they are going to be separated, which means I'm going to have to bring a chatas for each individual act, so that also means that they cannot be mitzarif as well. Meaning the response over here seems to be unbelievably clear that an act on Shabbos that's done under the shigga of Shabbos, even though it is in form the exact same act, nevertheless is going to be viewed totally different as the same act that's done under the shogig of Shigigas Malachos. That seems to clearly be the answer. And so once they are divided for a Karban Chatos, they're also not going to be Mitzarif as well in terms of putting them together. This is the answer that Rabbi Asi gives to Rabbi Zera. V'chol Hecha, the Gemara now pushes on this very point. V'chol Hecha, the Chaluk and L'chatos, lo Mitzarif. You mean to tell me that once they are divided for a Karban Chatos, they're not going to combine V'atanan? The Gemara says, well, let's consider now the following Mishnah. Achal chela v'chela b'alamecha. So here the Mishnah tells us the following. The Mishnah increases that if I eat chela, follow them by chela, and I do so with one halama, under one state of unawareness, eno chayv ala achas, I'm only chayv one karban chatos. Achal chela v'dam v'nosar pigol b'alamecha. However, if you were to eat the isurim of chelev and dam and noser and pigel, and you do so behalam echad. All four of these isurim, I'm not going to go through the details of which of what they are right now. There are four separate isurim. Each one of them has with it the onish of kares. And if one were to eat all of them, even though he eats so in one state of halama, chayva kol achas v'achas, because there are different isurim, so therefore one is going to be liable for each of these isurim in of themselves. Obviously, this produces a chumra. While you have by multiple types, then you have over one type. On the other hand, we can also express a chumra that you have by one min that you don't have by multiple minim, which is shim achal chatzi zayis ve'achazer achal chatzi zayis. If I eat a half a kezayis of chelev and then I follow by another half a kezayis of chelev mimin echad, and I do so of the same min like I just described, so chayv under those circumstances you be chayv mishnei minim potter. And if I did so of two different minim, so then obviously being that they are two separate yisurim, they're not going to combine in order to get to the requisite shear of a full. Of a full amount that would require you to bring a carbon. So that obviously now is a chumrah with having one type where if I have half plus a half, that equals a whole, as opposed to two different types where I have half of a half and that does not equal a whole. The Havinan Ba, now, on this Mishnah in Krisos, it's pretty straightforward. And the Gemara is basically going to ask, it's so straightforward, it doesn't even seem like it's providing any chiddush whatsoever. If I ate a half of a kezayis of chela, followed then by another half, and the idea that the Mishnah is telling me that it's going to combine, so what's the chiddush over there? So here, what are we dealing with? What happened was is that it was chelev, and it was chelev, but it was prepared in two different dishes. Now, two different dishes over here literally means in two different plates, but the way Rashi explains it and the way it's traditionally explained is that it was prepared in two different ways. One was roasted, and the other one was boiled, or whatever the case is. In other words, they were prepared in two different manners, and thereby we have a chiddush. and Rabbi Yeshua, he and the subscribes to the position Rabbi Yeshua, Damar Tamchui Mechalkin. Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that if I ate chalev prepared one way, roasted, and I ate chalev prepared another way, cooked, so now we are going to be we're looking at two distinct liabilities. You are going to be chayav for the chalev that's roasted, and you're going to be chayav for the chalev that's cooked, even though they're both chalev. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, this now provides for us a tremendous chiddush. According to Rabbi Yeshua, because they're prepared in two different ways, we're going to be viewing them as if they are two different Yisurim. Now, Rabbi Yeshua is not telling us that they are actually two different Yisurim, but vis-a-vis the halacha of Karban Chatas, we're viewing them as two different Yisurim. Now, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Lekula ben Lechomra. This idea of Rabbi Yeshua is going to yield equal conclusions, both on the side of Kula and on the side of Chumra. And that means to say as follows. If we're treating them like two different Yisurim vis-a-vis, I roasted chilev and I cook chilev and I'm going to have to bring two carbon chatzeses, well, that's the Chumra side. So that also means on the Kula side that if I eat a half a kezias of roasted chilev and a half a kezias of cooked chilev, I'm not going to bring a carbon at all, meaning they're not going to combine. So kamash malan de lekula lo amar lechumer ka amar. So the Gemara says, so what are we learning over here? That no, that as far as Rabbi Yoshua's position, that tamchuin mechalkin, that the plates are going to divide it, that's only when it comes to a chumra. But when it comes to a kula, for that we won't say. And if you eat if a person were to eat a half a kezias of roasted chalev and a half a kezias of cooked chalev, they would in fact combine to get you to a shear. Now, in terms of this inconsistency, I'm just going to spell it out, even though I don't have a wonderful explanation. So how does that work exactly? Meaning, how could it be that according to Rabbi Yoshua, in our present understanding, they will be divided where I have to bring two separate carbon chatzuses if I eat a kezias of one and a kezias of the other, of roasted and cooked? So how does it work where in that regard we're going to treat as two distinct ones? But in terms of combining to get to one, if I eat a half a kezias of roasted and a half a kezias of cooked, how exactly does that work? Now that will combine and that will make a shear. So vis-a-vis when I'm eating a full kezias of each, we treat them as separate entities. We're treating them as two distinct entities. But when I'm eating a half a kezias of each, we treat them now not as two distinct entities. It's hard to understand how that split comes about. And one could at least attempt to argue that this is maybe a din de rabbanon, but here we're talking about karbanos. And the question of bringing a carbon versus not bringing a carbon, well, if it's just a din de rabbanon, the chachamim wouldn't demand a carbon, an extra carbon to be brought. They can't. Either you're required to bring the carbon, you're not required to bring the carbon. So I'm just highlighting right now that as much as I understand the Gemara, I don't understand the svar behind the Gemara. How could it be viewed as two entities and at the same time, or under slightly different circumstances, we view them as one entity? That definitely requires an explanation. But anyway, the Gemara now has just made the point. The point now is, and the Gemara here spells it out, Hacha, over here, Chalukin lechataos. So if they are considered separated regarding Chatos offering, become starfei. So what you see over here is that the way we just presented it is that when I'm eating a full kezias of roasted versus cooked chalev, they are separating the two. But meanwhile, eating a half a kezias of both, one would be chayv to bring a full carbon, meaning they're going to be mitzarif. And so what we see over here is that there isn't necessarily a correlation between when they are chalukin for different karbanos versus when they're going to be mitzarif. We've just proven that these two issues don't necessarily go hand in hand, which is what the Gemara wanted to respond to, meaning that was Rav Asi's response. Well, since they're chaluk and lechatao, so therefore they're not going to be mitzarif. We just proved that this isn't necessarily correlate one with the other. So Amarlei, so the response to that is Mara Resha Masni La. When you asked the question on that Mishnah Krisus, you were asking on the Resha. Vikashule, and therefore you arrive at the difficulties we just outlined. Anana Sefer Masnisan La, but we on the other hand learn the statement of Reish Lakish on the Mishnah and Krisus, not on the Reisha, but rather on the Seifa. V'lo kashula, and therefore it does not provide for us a question whatsoever. Mishnei minim patur tzrich lameimar. And here is how it sounds according to the way we learned Reish Lakish. On the Mishnah that says that Shnei minim, you're going to be patur, where's the Chiddush in that part of the Mishnah? V'am Reish Lakish mishim bartutina la'olam imin echad. Really what we're describing over here is that even though the Mishnah says Shnei minim, it really means min echad. That my correlation a minim, and why is it described as two minim? She achlu b'shnei tamchuyim, because it was prepared in two different ways. One was cooked and the other was roasted. Rabbi Yoshua, and it's going like Rabbi Yoshua, damar tamchuyim mechalkin, and that the idea is that plates are going to be mechalek. The hakamash malan damar Rabbi Yoshua ben lekula ben lechomra. Now here, as we're learning it on the Sefer, here's now what comes out. That Rabbi Yoshua is being applied to the Sefer, which means to say that if I eat a half a kazayas of roasted chalev and a half a kazayas of cooked chalev, so they're not going to combine. They're eino mitzarif. Why? Because Rabbi Yoshua says this now fundamentally, that when I have chalev that's roasted and when I have chalev that's cooked, we view them as fundamentally two different types. And therefore, they're never going to combine. And it's not going to, and it's going to hurt us and it's going to help us. It's going to hurt us when the person eats a full kazayis of roasted chalev and a full kazayis of cooked chalev. So that person now has to bring two carbon chatzoses. So in that regard, it's going to be a chumrah. But it also can serve as a kula as well. Where if a person ate a half kazayis of roasted and a half kazayis of cooked, so then it's not going to be mitzarif, it's not going to combine, and that person's not going to have to bring a carbon chatzos. So now, in this version, as we're learning now, Rabbi Yoshua on the Seifa, on the second half of the Mishnah, now it comes out to be a fundamental position. Where if something is not going to, if something is divided for two separate chataos, it also is unable to be mitzarif in order to create a sheer shalom. And now with that stated, so Ravasi's answer now is going to be supported, it is going to be defended, and the Gemara says we have it now worked out. So the Gemara says, okay, so based on the interpretation that we just gave in that Mishnah and Krisus, let's follow through and let's just simply work through this explanation all the way to the end of the Mishnah. Let's work it back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Since now you said that the end of the Mishnah is talking about Menechad with two plates, so now Mechlal Dereisha Menechad V'Tamchu Yechad, that means to indicate that the first half of that Mishnah is talking about where it is Menechad, it's Tamchu Yechad, it's one Isser, and it's on one plate. So Menechad V'Tamchu Yechad, Tzrich LaMeimar. So why did I need the Reisha? The Reisha is talking about one piece of Chelev, and prepared the same way, so then it should be obvious. I'm Rav Huna, and the Gemara says no, because the Chiddush goes like this. Let's say you ate a first half of a kezias, and then somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, that's kezias. And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. You lapsed again into your state of unawareness, and you ate the second half. Now, here's what we normally say, that in terms of what creates a break, a gap, between one act of shogeg and another act of shogeg, and that would be a yediyah. Meaning if you did an isser of the Torah in a state of halama, and then you discovered that which you did, you had a yediyah, and then you did it again in another state of halama, well, the yediyah is going to be mechalek, that's going to divide the first act and the second act. Rabbi Gamliel treats us to the following opinion. It happens to be that we're going to be discussing this later in our Masechta in more detail. And that is that according to Rabbi Gamliel, a yediyah is not going to be a division when all you did was eat chatzi shir. Chatzi shir for Rabbi Gamliel is not significant enough where if you have a yediyah bein time, if you have a yediyah in the middle, it's going to divide the first half and the second half. And now, we just introduced ourselves to a chiddush. And that is that the first half is telling us that I ate the full kazayas, but in the middle of eating that one kazayas, even though it's chalev, and even though it's prepared the same way, but in the middle of eating it, you had a yediyah. And now one could have argued that the yediyah is going to divide the first half and the second half, and that the idea is that the Mishnah subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel, where ein yediyah lechatzi shir, that there is no yediyah when it comes to chatzi shir. That is the chiddush of the first half of the Mishnah. Adkan, that takes us now to the first half of today's daf. Admittedly, it is a little bit of a, it requires a little bit of thinking. Certainly is a more conceptual daf, but the ideas that we have been working with over the course of this morning so far has been the idea of grera, of incorporation, that when a person violates multiple times, under what circumstances can I incorporate a carbon chatzos to include other acts? And at what are going to be the limits of incorporation? That was the first half of today's daf. And that was a machlokes between Abai and Rava in terms of what the limits of incorporation are. Rava's limit is that you only allow one step of grera. And Abai allows even further subsequent steps of grera. That was the first half of today's daf. And the second half of today's daf is just the assumption going into the discussion of Abai and Rava is that when a person violates malachas on Shabbos, the first time, Shigagah Shabbos. The second time, although the same act, but now under a new type of shogeg of Shigagah Malachos,
So are they simply of now the same category? Abai and Rava, in having their discussion, assume the answer, of course, is yes. It's the same. And the Gemara now points out that Ravasi doesn't agree. And Ravasi says that they're going to be viewed as two separate Isurim because they were done under two separate Shogigs. Itmar, the Gemara now is going to continue the question of liability regarding a carbon chatas. Let's say a person ate two kezesim of chalev, and he did so behelam echad. And now he has a discovery of eating the first, followed then by a discovery of eating the second. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayvstein. Rabbi Yochanan says, because the discovery of the two did not come at the same time, and because the discovery came of the two independent one of the other, so therefore he's going to be chayv two karmen chatasas. Reish Lakish Amar Eino Chayv Ala Achas, and Reish Lakish is of the opinion that you're now going to be chayv only one. Rav Yochanan Amar Chayv. Now Rav Yochanan is of the opinion Achataso Vehevi. The pasuk says that you're going to have to do it over your chait, and then you're going to bring. Which means to say that for every chait that you discover that you did, you're going to have to bring karmen chatas. Now even though the two kezesim were eaten behelam echad, but because your point of discovery was individualized, therefore each one of them is going to demand, require its own separate carbon chatas. Reish Lakish amar patar. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that you be patar mechatas of nesachlo. The pasuk says from your chatas. The mechatas of the mem at the beginning seems to give the indication that even though you're bringing your chatas for some of your sin, it's able to cover all your sins. This is similar to the idea that we expressed earlier in terms of greira of incorporation, but it's not exactly the same. Over here, you ate the two kezesim behelam echad. It just happens to be that you discovered one, and you discovered the two acts at two different times, but Reish Lakish now, from the pasuk of mechataso, teaches us that even though I'm bringing a chatas for eating the first one, but it's able to cover the second one as well because they were eaten behelam echad. V'Reish Lakish. Now, each position, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, are both drawing from a pasuk. So the obvious issue, which the Gemara now is going to deal with, is what does each Amar do with the other's pasuk? V'Reish Lakish, haksiv achataso ve'evi. Now, for Reish Lakish, the pasuk does say achataso ve'evi. Ha'u lachar kapar. So Reish Lakish says, yeah, look, I'm with you. I agree with you that there is going to be an occasion where you're going to have to bring a second carbon chatas, and that'll be after kapara. That means to say as follows. Let's start the case again. The person ate two kezesim. After having eaten the two kezesim behelam echad in one halama, he then discovers about the first piece. Okay, he feels terrible. He sets aside a carbon chatas. Not only does he set aside a carbon chatas, he brings the carbon chatas. Now, after having brought the carbon chatas, now he discovers about the second piece that he ate. So even Reish Lakish will say at this point in time, the only thing that was covered by the first carbon chatas was only the first, because that's the only one he knew about. He didn't know about the second one. So for that, Reish Lakish will admit, if he didn't know about the second one at the time that he brought the first carbon chatas, so it can't cover the second kezias, and Reish Lakish will admit that here too, he's going to have to now bring a new carbon chatas for the second. That's how Reish Lakish is going to interpret the pasuk of achataso vehivi. Uli Rav Yochanan, nami haksiv mechataso v'neslechlo. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, what are you going to do with the fact that it says mechataso? So hach b'mayiskin and kigon shachal kezias u'mechsa. So Rav Yochanan will take the pasuk and apply it to a very limited scenario, a very specialized scenario. And that is that the person ate a kezias and a half. V'nodolo al kezias. Now, somebody informed him that the first kezias that he ate was in fact chalev. So the second half kezias that he ate right now is kind of lingering. V'chazer v'achal kezias. I'm sorry. V'chazer v'achal kechatzi zayis acher. And then he ate another chatzi zayis. Be'alama sholsheni. And he did so in the halama of the other piece. Meaning, not included in the first piece, but in the second half. Or I should say better, in the first half of the second piece. Ma'od etemel et starfei. So I might have thought that under those two circumstances. Now, I could take of that second piece that he ate, where the first half was eaten within the halama of the first piece. The second half was eaten now in a new halama. I might have thought they should be able to be combined, kamash malan, and in that regard, that's where Rav Yochanan takes the pasuk mechataso to its limited application under this very limited circumstance. Then and only then am I not going to combine the first half and the second half, because the first half really is part and parcel of the first kezias that he ate,
and cannot therefore be connected to the second half of that piece. Amalei Ravin LaRavashi. So now within this machlokus of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, so the later Amoraim have the following discussion. The isyade le kodem afrasha plige uva ha plige. Now, again, the beginning of the case we're all familiar with, and that is that he ate two kazesim alam echad. Now, the question is discovery. Now, the discovery is kodem hafrasha pligi. Are they arguing about discovering before they set aside the carbon, uva ha pligi? And maybe the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish will sound like this. Mar Savri Yedios Machalko said, according to Rav Yochanan, just knowledge by itself is going to divide piece number one, piece number two. Meaning that according to Rav Yochanan, the only time that the two pieces can combine under the rubric of one carbon is only going to be in the circumstance where you discovered about the two at the same time. But according to Rav Yochanan, if I only have a yediyah on one before the other, that yediyah by itself is going to divide. Omar Savra Afrashos Machalkos and Reish Lakish of the opinion that it's the separation of the carbon chatas that actually divides the two into two distinct carbonos. Avalachar Afrasha, but if let's say I set aside a carbon for piece number one, and after having set aside for carbon for piece number one, then I learn about piece number two. Modi le Reish Lakish or Rav Yochanan de Chayiv Shtayim, under those circumstances, are we going to suggest? We're not sure right now, but perhaps we'll suggest that Reish Lakish will agree to Rav Yochanan that at this point in time it's too late. Even though it's not la'achar kapara, even though the carbon itself hasn't been brought yet, but still, the idea that you set aside the carbon, maybe that locks the carbon in, and therefore no other pieces of chelev can be included in this carbon. That's one possibility. Oh, Dilmar, the other possibility is the yisyad alei la'achar afrasha pligi, or maybe no, that the idea comes after you set aside the carbon. Uvahapli, again, here the debate goes as follows. Mar Savra Afrasha Machalkos, where Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that once you set aside the carbon, that's it. It locks the carbon. No more Isurim can be included in this carbon, even though the second Isur was done the same time as the first Isur, Behelam Echad with the first Isur, but still, because it was after Afrasha, it's been locked in. Mar Savra Kaparos Machalkos. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that no. Meaning you only set aside the carbon. You didn't bring the carbon yet. And so therefore, there's still an opening within the carbon that it can provide coverage for that second piece of chelev. Avakodim afrasha. But if it's before the afrasha, modi le Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, here in the second approach, what we're saying now is that before afrasha, even Rav Yochanan will agree that as long as you have not set aside a carbon yet, the idea by itself is not going to separate. The only thing that separates is going to be the hafrasha sa carbon. So modi le Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish de'enu chayv alacha. So there's going to be agreement that Rav Yochanan will agree to Reish Lakish that you're only going to be chayv one carbon. Odilma bein bezu mechalkos. Or maybe no. Maybe the machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is going to be fundamental. Meaning that Rav Yochanan will always say that unless you learn about the two eatings at the same time, they're always going to be divided. And it doesn't matter whether it is after the Yediya, after the Hafrasha, Rav Yochanan is always going to divide into two. As opposed to Reish Lakish, on the other hand, Reish Lakish, unless it's after Kapara, Reish Lakish says it's always a chance to combine the two together. Both at the point of Yediya, if let's say I discover them at different times, or even after Hafrasha. After I was mafresh the carbon over the first Kezias, I could still, as long as I learn about the second Kezias, I can include the second Kezias within the first Kezias. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that we could have them arguing by Yediya, not by Hafrasha. We could have them arguing by Hafrasha, but not by Yediya. Or they could be arguing both by Yediya and by Hafrasha. So Amar Lei, Mistabra, Bein Bezu Machlokes. And the Gemara says that I think their debate is fundamental. How do I know that? Let's entertain the following. Like we just entertained a moment ago, that Reish Lakish would agree to Rav Yochanan that after the Hafrasha, that's it. The carbon is locked. So Ademukim Lekra La'achar Kapara. Then let's go back to the back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. We had a pasuk for Rav Yochanan. We had a pasuk for Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says that the pasuk that was used by Rav Yochanan, so before defending Reish Lakish's position and saying, oh, Reish Lakish will say that's after Kapara, look me lacha hafrasha. Why doesn't Reish Lakish say that the pasuk could apply even after just the hafrasha? So by virtue of the fact that Reish Lakish didn't say that, so that means to say that Reish Lakish would agree that even after Afrasha, he could still combine them. So v'i achar Afrasha pligi, avakunim Afrasha, modele Rav Yochanan le'Reish Lakish, deinu chayv al achas, and now let's just simply go in the other direction. If, in fact, we have it that Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are going to be agreeing Kodem Afrasha before setting aside the carbon, where here Rav Yochanan will agree to Reish Lakish that the two kizaisim could be combined. So then Adamuk le krab the kizaisim echsa. So once again, we had the pasuk that was in support of Reish Lakish, the May. So why don't we just simply say that instead of giving pshat in that pasuk of that very limited scenario, we ate a kizais and a half, and then afterwards in a separate halama you had another half kizais. And the question now is that of the second piece where the two kizaisim, the two half kizaisim were eaten in two alamas, can they combine and they cannot combine? And there we're going to apply the pasuk to that scenario before going down that entire route. Look, mekodem afrasha. Let's just simply say that the pasuk's talking about before afrasha, where there Rav Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish that it's before afrasha. So then, if it's just at the point of yediyah, even though the yediyahs are coming in two separate stages, nevertheless, the first kizais and the second kizais can combine. So why we do all that? By virtue of the fact that the Amoraim were not giving these pshatim in the psukim, seem to indicate that the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in fact fundamental. V'dilma. The Gemara says, perhaps not. Sefukim esafkele. Maybe as far as the pshatim that were offered in the psukim, maybe either Reish Lakish or Rav Yochanan, or those Amoraim in the Beis Medrash who were arguing on behalf of Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, they themselves were just simply not sure. I prefer rather the latter way I just said it, that we're talking about the Amoraim in the Beis Medrash. They themselves were not sure. Im tim salam rekarim afrasha pligiba, and all they were doing now was just simply hedging on how to interpret the psukim if Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan were debating before the Hafrasha, so then Rav Yochanan hechimukila lukra, how would Rav Yochanan explain the pasuk? Because Kizayis Amechsa are going to the pshat of the kizayis and a half. The imtem salam al achar Hafrasha pligi. Now, if you're going to say that they're arguing after Hafrasha, Reish Lakish hechimukila lukra, then what is Reish Lakish going to do with the pasuk? He'll say la achar kapara, that the pasuk's talking after kapara. That means to say that Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan themselves may in fact have a limited debate in terms of when exactly they're debating, but in terms of the later Amoraim, who are learning the machlokes of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish and trying to argue what is each going to do with the other's pasuk, they were just simply open to the idea that we're not sure what exactly they're debating. We don't know the parameters of the debate. But if we were to take the worst case scenario of the debate, then what are we going to do with the pasuk? That is the way we can interpret it, but we don't have to conclude that we know definitively that they're arguing under all circumstances. It could be that their argument is limited, and it just happens to be that the later Amoraim just didn't know exactly where the limits of their debate were. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf. We'll stop over here. And just a recap of today. Admittedly, today's daf requires a lot of brain power. Not to say that I am smart enough to understand today's daf. It just happens to be that there's a lot to consider and a lot to think about in today's daf. The first discussion that we had in today is the idea of Gerera, that I'm going to bringing a Karban Chatas, and the idea of the Karban Chatas being able to incorporate other Isurim that are somehow connected, somehow linked. And this idea of Gerera, we gave a number of examples of how it works in the beginning of Shir today. We started off with a really interesting scenario where the person violates Ketzira and Tchina two times on Shabbos, the first time with Shigas Shabbos, the second time with Shigas Malachos. And now a question where he discovers number two before number one. And bringing in Karban Chatas for the Ketzira of number two, what exactly is that going to be able to cover? And so we took a path around today where, according to Abaye, it can go full circle, literally full circle, from Ketzira number two to Ketzira number one, from Ketzira number one to Tchina number one, Tchina number one down to Tchina number two. It goes full circle because Abaye is totally open to the idea of full Gerera, a full incorporation. Rava limits. Rava only takes us around most of the circle, not full circle. The Gemara's conclusion is that Rava will allow one step of Gerera, but not two steps of Gerera, like we explained. The Gemara pointed out in the Amud Aleph that this assumption that we just made, that Ketzira done with Shigas Shabbos, followed then Ketzira done by Shigas Malachos, is really the same act repeated. The Gemara points out this is not universally held. Not all Amoraim are open to this idea. Rabbi Zera asked a question from Rabbi Asi, whether or not one can combine these two. And his response was, well, since they are chaluko, since they're going to be divided, and that if a person does both of them, he's going to have to bring a two carbon chatuses, so therefore they cannot be mitzarf, they will not be able to combine. So clearly you see that Rav Asi is not open to this idea that Shigigas Shabbos and Shigigas Malachos are in fact the same Isser repeated. They are two distinct Isserim. And then the Gemara just simply backed up this idea that there has to be a necessary correlation between Chaluk and Lachatos, and therefore Einan Mitzarfin. And the Gemara goes on to discuss, is that true, is that not true? The Gemara seems to indicate that it's at least at the conclusion of today's daf, that yes, if it's going to be chalukin for chatos, then it's not going to be mitzarif. And then finally, the last thing that we discussed today is the question of what is going to break up two acts, even though two consumptions of two pieces of chalif, each one consisting of a kazayis, were done behalam echad. Is there a way in which, even though they were done behalam echad, are they going to have to be broken up for two chatos? Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish debate this very point. Rav Yochanan says that even if you find out about them in two separate stages, they're going to be divided. Reish Lakish says that even if you find out about them in two separate stages, and even if the carbon was mufresh over the first one, as long as you discover about the second one, so then the second one can be included within this carbon. Although what I just offered is a simple way to understand Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, that their argument is fundamental, the Gemara, however, did at least entertain the idea that maybe the debate is not as wide and as expansive as I just described, but maybe it is somewhat more limited, although the Gemara was not clear or did not conclude on this very point.